For I've given you this authority. I've given this authority. For all power was given unto me in heaven and earth. Then I said, go. When I said, go ye into all the world, preach this gospel, I meant the one of power. I'd supply the power. I'd give you the authority that in my name you'd cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick. Know this, that inside of me lies all the potential for a mighty outpouring of my spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. Inside of me, there lies all the power and the authority by which you need in these last days. But too many and too much of my church are trying to do the works second hand, trying to do that which was by example spoken of in the book of Acts, when the spirit of hell said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Too much of my church are trying to stand, even when they do speak that name, they speak it from afar, standing in that which they only repeat by what they've heard, and not living in the revelation of Christ in them, the hope of glory. If you find this place and you live it out not through another man or through another woman, not through the testimony of someone else, but if your testimony becomes the truth inside of you, then you'll speak very little, but the words that you say will have extreme power, because they'll be backed up with absolute authority, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Take us into this place, Jesus, where the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak and the dead are raised, and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands. My God, my God, my God, give us this place. Let us die. Let us die doing everything we can with every last fiber of our being to give this to you. We thank you for the authority. We thank you for the authority. And then you back up that authority with his power. You've given us the authority. Power comes from you. Glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Would you just say his name? Would you just say Jesus? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm reminded a cute story, recent, but relative to his authority. Pick on you. I had an opportunity to ride. Carl come over and rode with me Friday night to an Immokalee game, which I never saw. Started so late because of lightning, they wouldn't let us in. They'd let some people in. And there must have been, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but 2,000-3,000 people in line, and I was a long ways back. And we were standing in line, and I'd waited for about an hour, and Carl was saying hi to a lot of old friends back and forth in the line. And I kept noticing about 30 yards in front of me, a younger grown man, a pretty good sized guy. And he was back and forth, and he was causing some kind of, I didn't know what he was saying, but he was speaking to another man and using really bad language and all kinds of stuff. And the story was, after Carl conveyed to me, is that that particular man was with the woman that was the mother of this other man that was causing the ruckus, the mother of his child, and she was there with another man. I guess they had split up or whatever. And he was there with another person, And he was back and forth, and there was families around us, and I couldn't hear his really rude language, but and I didn't really notice it so much until Carl came back, and every once in a while he'd come back and check in and say hi, and we'd talk a little bit, and he'd go talk to some of his buddies in line. And well, he come back from, I saw him up there talking to this guy, and he said, I was trying to de-escalate, just bring a calm to that situation. I said, what was it? He told me what I just told you. He said, this guy's really causing problems up there. And I said, well, did you tell him that you were an officer? No. And I'm like, well, I said, where's your badge at? He goes, I left it in my car at your house. I said, man, you need to wear that thing. I said, you need to clip it on your belt in these kind of situations, and people will show you respect. They'll respect that authority. He goes, yeah, I know. I said, you don't even know who you are yet. You're forgetting, aren't you? And he goes, yeah, I don't think about it sometimes. I said, you forget who you are. You've just been recently sworn in. So the guy kept on. I could see him up there. Well, a little bit, Carl slipped up there and talked to him again. Quietly, he just got him to the side and talked to him. Well, the guy was back and forth. You know how a guy will act like he's going to jump on somebody's back and forth. He's walking, and there's little kids around, and they don't need to be hearing that. So a little bit, the guy calmed down a lot. And then a little while, I noticed he turned and left, just left the whole premises, went to his car, I guess. Carl came back. He said, I talked to him again. I said, yeah, did you? He said, yeah. I said, what'd you say? He said, I told him that I was an officer and that I would arrest him, handcuff him, and have backup here in a little bit to have him hauled off if he did not begin to straighten up. Do you know the guy immediately took on a different demeanor? Authority brought peace to the situation. He realized, you know what? Rather than me taking a ride in a squad car, it'd be better for me to just calm down. Now, you can intellectually argue with the devil all day long. And you can do a lot of things physically. But the devil's not going to leave you until you begin to stand up. And as the Holy Spirit said in that prophecy, you can't stand up to him through my revelation. You have to stand up to him first person. If you're having a walk with Christ, then like the officer says, stop it and stop it now. To start with, he was a civilian talking to another. Well, I don't have to respect you. But then when you've got the authority to say you're under arrest, turn around, put your hands behind your back. And if he didn't do that, then he could have had 25 or 30 cop cars there in just a little bit. See, all of heaven backs you up. Hallelujah. All of heaven backs you up. But all of us sometimes will go for days letting something just torment us instead of turning and in the name of Jesus. And by the authority based on his word, I say unto you, go. And this is the scripture. Hallelujah.
I say
that Immokalee
is in revival.
I say that the blind see,
the
lame walk,
the deaf hear,
the dumb speak,
dead are raised.
Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole.
And thousands and thousands
are born again.
In this revival.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Carl, I was teasing him a little bit. He's too humble. If I'd have been sworn in recently, even as a preacher, I'd have the badge up here while I'm preaching. Hallelujah. I can arrest you. Give somebody a hug, would you? Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Those tongues are for me, and he's just confirming, do go forward with a wisdom and exhortation. I'm supposed to be exhorting you over the offering, but maybe it'll lead into it. He won't quite leave this alone, and it's okay with me, whatever he wants. He started this last week, and then he went into it Wednesday night. Last week was something like, title was, Why Are We Not Having Revival Yet? And then there was a prophetic exhortation based on the reasons why, because a lot of times people say, we don't understand. Why is there not revival? Well, it's quite obvious. I mean, do you wonder? I mean, I have at times. It's crossed my mind. But when I understand biblically, it's no wonder to me. It's just plain, black and white. Well, last week was why we're not having revival, and it was a lot on the mindset, even the mindset of the church. It's not the mindset of the world living in sin, it's the mindset of the church and all of everything, and basically what it boiled down to a lot of, it was an exhortation about sin, but not necessarily sin in the church, but a mindset of sin in the church. And when we start hearing things like this, and then what we mentioned on Thursday night, and then a repeat, you start thinking, wow, he's really getting on to us. Not really. He's trying his best to promote us. It's because we get right to the crusp, just right to the edge of something happening, and we're just one bewildered. Why is it not happening? Why is it not happening? And this is really for our benefit. It's really a promotion. Because sometimes it's just a little bit that you need to tip the scale and cause something to really happen. Well, last week I talked a lot. He talked a lot on the mindset and how it's come into the church and what the church will allow, and even the millennials, you know who you are, the younger. You're not faulted by being a millennial. You're just, the problem is a culture that you grow up in. And the culture is, it so allows for things, so allows for it, that's so contradictory to the Word of God, and then there's nothing happening and people don't understand. And millions of innocent babies are being killed. Well, we understand, I mean, I'll be kind, that's not even a debate. I mean, I could give scripture after scripture after scripture, boom, 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 boom. That is murder. But at the same time, what we're providing is not condemnation against the murder, but we're providing everyone that can walk in these doors or we can touch in the streets, letting them know that there is forgiveness. There's absolute forgiveness. And you can be healed. And the two things, wonderful two things, is your baby's in heaven. Well, it wasn't a baby. It was just a month. No, listen. By this, I've got something bigger here than me and more powerful here than me. This teaches us that when a man and woman come together, and I'll keep this PG, when those two seeds come together, that's when God declares it a human being. That's a human being. Now, you can cut it out and say it doesn't matter. That's what the culture has done. And it's bled into the church. It's like that's not. But what we're providing is, look, that's sin, but there's forgiveness and there's healing. And your baby's in heaven. Stay saved and follow God. And you're going to see your baby again. Well, the craziness of the mindsets is the just such hypocrisy how the church has lived. It's really lived really hypocritical, because it may be the older, not the millennials. The millennials would say, okay, they're, even in the church, they'd say, they're living together. But after a certain amount of time, they've had two or three kids, then they're married. No, they've just been shacking up for 15 years and had three kids. They're still in fornication. Well, who gives you? I can give you a bunch of scriptures. And then it's so hypocritical, because then the older bunch will look at the millennial culture and they'll say they have a real tolerance. And there is a somewhat of a tolerance in the mindset of our millennials, because they think, okay, because see, I came, I'm old enough that now, and most of the millennials are, they were old enough to see when it was voted in, but it's a shock to my system that two men can marry. It's a shock. But it won't necessarily be, we'll teach our grandkids not to hate those people, love those people. But my little guys, my grandkids, they won't grow up with it being a shock to their system that the Supreme Court says it's okay. So they're part of a culture. And so there's scripture on that, that if, see, we don't want them in condemnation. We love them. We want them in here. We want them to understand, we love you. You can change. You can be born again. You can be born again. But then the hypocrisy is this. You'll have some guy outside the millennial culture, he'll put his nose up in there and say, those guys and gals are going to hell. Now listen. The church that has preached that, that's a truth. But when you stand in one side and say, oh yeah, that's so-and-so over there, they're living together. But there's a bad sin. That's hypocrisy. Because according to this, you can go to hell for one just like you do the other. It doesn't matter. So why are you barking about them? And say, well, they've been living together 10 years. They got three kids. No. If it's now, I will grant you the other ones, because it's against nature, it's unnatural, it's a deeper perversion. It's a deeper perversion. But if you're in hell, what does it matter? It doesn't really matter. Now you say, Pastor, I don't know about all this. Listen, if I had time, we don't have time. I could do seminar where I could turn to you and say, unless you just didn't take this for anything, unless you just said, well, that's just the word. Well, then I don't really have a basis with you. But if you believe this is God's word, that I can show you scripture after scripture, not in a condemning way, but in a loving way of what I'm saying is truth. And what has happened to the church is all that has crept in to such a degree that somebody asked me to stand up and speak at an ecumenical meeting one time, and this had been just 4 or 5 years ago, and I stood up, and I didn't think I said anything everything I try to say about sin, I try to couple it, put a parenthesis on it. The beginning, I put love, and at the end, I put love. I try to let them know I'm not mad at anybody. I love everybody, and if I can help you get to heaven, I want to help you get to heaven. And so I just exhorted for a little bit. And then I was, at the end of the service, shaking everybody's hands. And I don't have to have some. I appreciate it when somebody said, I really enjoyed that. And I had a guy there that was in the family. He wasn't really in the family, but he had been in the family. And then they were older than me, but at the time he was living with, at the time, one of my cousins. And as far as I know at that time, because they had been living together for a good while, and they are married now, thank God. But they were in the church, and they were shacking up. And he come up, and he shook my hand. And I just thought I exhorted and made everybody happy. He said, yeah. He said, good job. He goes, You gave us some of that old time fire and brimstone, didn't you? You know, most of the church thinks what we're teaching is fire and brimstone. It's not fire and brimstone. This is just the Apostles' Creed. This is just the love of God. This is just truth. Well, that kind of mentality will stop a revival. But then Jesus gave us one, and this is where we were at Wednesday night. And man, I don't know how I'll ever... Do you know that we've got 3 or 4 weeks of bayonet training that we need to get to? I'm telling you, it's good stuff. I'm looking at him saying, my God, I can't wait to say that. I can't wait to say that. And then he just won't leave me alone. God, do you know what you want to do? Yes, he does. But Jesus, he taught his disciples, he said, look, you want to pray? Yes. Matthew 6, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who are trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory both now and forever. And he finished that prayer and he said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will... Now, Pastor, he was talking to the sinner. No, he said, your heavenly Father, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But he couldn't leave it there. He went on to say, but if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive yours. He gave us a revival. In Mark chapter 11, he said, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, I say unto you that he shall have whatsoever things he saith. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall have them and you shall receive them. We're saying, God, amen. You know, hallelujah, rah, rah, cheer, cheer. We got our revival because all we got to do is stand and speak and say, Immokalee's in revival. But he couldn't hush. He couldn't just walk away and leave it alone. He had to give this. He had to say, and when you stand praying, while you're speaking to whatever mountain, if it's a mountain of revival over a region or if it's a personal problem in your life, while you stand in that place, he said, forgive. Forgive. In other words, all of it is predicated, all faith. Now, this is amazing to me, and I'm not giving a pass here because you know I just talked about that other. He didn't even mention immorality there. He just said this. I say unto you, forgive men their trespasses. For if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, if you want to throw a monkey wrench into all of it, after you've stood there, proclaimed, after you've fasted and prayed and spoke to the mountain, well, I'm good now. Yeah, but the next verse is, what can mess the whole deal up if you're harboring anything? You just threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. Wow. Now, Matthew 18 is where we were at Wednesday night, and that's what that tongue was. He said, take him in. That whole chapter, we could go through it, but we won't. But the thing of it was, is it was all about, he said, well, okay. The entrance was into the kingdom. He said, and bring the little child. Here's how a little child is. You must enter the kingdom as a little child. You must. But once you're in, here's how you're exalted in the kingdom. You must humble yourself as a little child. And then he says, look, I say unto you that whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth on me. In other words, he wasn't talking about little kids. He was using them as example of the infants and the newbies that would come in. He said, whosoever would offend one of these, I say unto you, it was better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he is dropped off in the depth of the ocean, than to offend one of these. Meaning this, if you have the capacity inside of you to offend to where you turn one of these around and they say, I don't really don't want anything to do with church. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. The way that they've treated me, I'm out of here. He said, if you had that capacity, it's really better for you. Then he went on to describe. He went on to describe what would be better. This is the most graphic chapter and most graphic things. People, the Gnostics scoff at this because they say he really couldn't mean this. Well, I don't think he really meant it in a physical sense. Jesus is not sadistic, but what he's saying in the literal sense of spiritual things, you better take it this serious. He says, if you have this capacity in you to offend, he says, or to harbor unforgiveness was the essence. He says it's better for you that you lop off, that you cut your hand off or your foot off. And he just didn't leave it there. He went on to say it'd be better that you gouge your eye out. And in all three, the hand, the foot, and the eye, he says it would be better for you. It's better for you that you cut these off. And then he said to cast them from you. It's like, I lost an eye here. Can you help me find it? Yeah, okay. Gouging it out wasn't good enough. I've got to cast it from me. In other words, get as far away from offenses as you possibly can. Is it important? He goes on in this same chapter to write a script. He gave us a fantastic story. And you've heard it before. It was the man that went before a rich man that owed him literally, if you equivocate it to today's fashion, he owed him trillions of dollars, millions if not trillions of dollars, just an insurmountable amount. That is to be the picture of what we as individuals owe God. The individual then went out and found a fellow which is our neighbor. He found a fellow servant. And then he took him by the throat. And he said, oh, pay me what you owe me. The guy had nothing to pay. He begged, just like the man had stood there in front of his debtor, or to the one that he was indebted to, and said, please forgive me. I can never pay you back. The guy said, I want all of you sold. You're going into prison. Your family. And he said, please have mercy upon me. He said, I'll forgive you the whole debt. That's what God did for us. He went right out into the street and he grabbed somebody by the throat. The symbol of that is this. It's easy. That's easy. The debt that we owed God. The debt that somebody owes us. The debt that somebody owes us, no matter what they've ever done. Well, Pastor, you don't know. You don't know how that guy treated me, my family, how they treated this, what they said. Listen, the debt that anybody ever owed you has no comparison to the debt that you owed Almighty God in your sinful condition. No comparison. But this guy, he would not. He kept the grip on his throat and he said, I will not forgive you. You're going to prison. He put him into prison. They brought him back in. Now, this guy's sins had already been forgiven because he said, you're free. But then he questioned him again. He said, wait a minute. Didn't I forgive you your debt? He said, yes. Why didn't you forgive? Why didn't you forgive? He said this, lock him up, put him in prison till his entire debt, turn him over to the tormentors. And that sounds awful. And then what Jesus would not stop, if he had just stopped right there, it would have been enough. But Jesus said, I say unto you, so shall your heavenly Father do the same unto you. If you do not from your heart forgive every man their trespasses. Well, I don't understand why we're not having revival. I can tell you why. And this is a promotion. It's not a rebuke. It's a promotion because we need something to tip the scale. Mark 4 said this. Jesus was teaching how faith and spiritual maturity works. It works like this. It works whether it's in healing, finances, or forgiveness, or anything. Jesus said this is how the kingdom of God works. It's as if a man would plant seed in the ground. The seed is the word of God. He told that to his disciples later. And he does not know how that it grows, but it's the maturation, you know, that's maturing. It's the maturation process. In other words, if the devil doesn't pull it out of there through tests and trials and lust of the flesh, and if it just stays there and you fight all that stuff back and it just stays there, then you will grow. And the word is supposed to grow, as Jesus said, it's supposed to grow 30. It will mature into a 30, a 60, and eventually into a 100-fold. In other words, he kept continuing. He kept trying to get this across. He said, it's like this, 30, 60, it's 100. It's the blade. It's a little, I'm looking at that. We just planted that last week. It's a little blade out of the ground. But if keep watching it, that's 30%. Keep watching, whoa, over 2 months, 2 hours. Oh, that blade just grew into a stalk. That's 60%. And then if you just leave it in there a little bit longer, I don't know how long exactly it takes corn, but he said then they're full ear in the corn. The full corn in the ear will be in there. That's 100-fold. He said it's just like this. Plant that small seed, that mustard seed, and it will continue to grow. It will continue to grow until a point in which once you planted it, it was nothing. We often say, why? Why is there not? Listen, the people that are not seated here this morning, and I'm not talking about people on vacation, and I'm not talking about people that have been offended, or have left, or other people that have one foot in the world or playing around with sin. God loves those people just like us, but they're not making any difference at all in their prayers concerning revival. That their prayers, authority comes by having a first-person relationship with Him. You don't have one foot in the world in sin or you know, out there doing all kind of stuff and coming every 6 months and coming to... He loves you. Will He hear you? Yes, because He loves you. But is there any weight of authority in your prayer about changing the atmosphere? Absolutely not. Just none at all. Just absolutely not. In other words, you can't be straddling the fence and have any authority in that realm. But where authority lies is with elders and young men and young women. The young men and young women, John said, he said when he was talking about them, he said this, "You fathers, you have known Him that was from the beginning. You young men, you've overcome the wicked one." Why? Because you have the Word of God abiding in you, and He says you've overcome the wicked one. Now those fathers equivocate or interpret out to mothers in the faith as well. Those young men are young women, and those that have allowed the Word of God to stay in them long enough that they've got over most of their character flaws and character weaknesses and places that take them out into sin and those kinds of things. They've matured to that place. Their prayers really make a difference. The little children. I got a text. I didn't even see it because I was using my phone Thursday night or Wednesday night. Homer texted me right in the middle of it. It was cool. I saw it afterwards. I said, man, he's right. He goes, that's the 30, 60, and the 100. The little children, the young men, and the fathers. So you women sitting here, some of you are fathers. That is, if you've allowed the Word of God to nurture and stay in you. But here's what makes the difference. You can't be in that place of authority and have your hand on anybody else's throat. You can't. Well, I'm learning, Pastor, it's going to take... Okay, that 30, 60, and 100 is for little ones. Now, get this. Get over... yourself no matter what it takes. And just like the person who's in sin, we say, we'll teach you how to get out of that. Get over yourself. No matter what it takes, go to the Word. But listen, here's where revival lives. That every elder and every young man and every young woman in the Spirit has their hands off of somebody else's throat. In other words, there's no offense living inside of them. Well, it's not living inside of me, Pastor. Wonderful. Wonderful. Then we're on our way to revival. And we don't have to worry about the dodgeball spirituality. What's dodgeball? Well, y'all just give each other a great big hug. Oh, glory to God. Okay. Now, there's different ways to hug. You know, I hug the young ladies different than I hug my wife. And all you men better be, too. Okay? Especially my wife. Okay? We hug them from the side or we lean over because they're our sisters. Okay? Sisters. Okay? But there's different kind of, y'all hug each other. And I'm a hug. Glory to God, we're in revival. Glory to God, my place in revival. Glory to God. And see him coming. Glory to God. Ooh, I see somebody over there I hadn't spoke to. I'm going to go over there and talk to them. Glory to God. Ooh, Mockley's in revival. And then you go to the back of the church. Ooh, Mockley's in revival. Mockley's in revival. Man, you're coming up this side. Mockley's in. Oh, I see him again. Ooh, somebody over here. Bless you, bless you. What's that? You got your hand. And you say, why ain't we having a revival? Because I've been praying like crazy. Get your hands off of their throats. Well, they never did something to me. Listen, let me just split hairs and get down, because we're after revival. I don't care about having church. I care about having born-again, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost revival. You can't even afford, Pastor Dave, me and Homer picked up Pastor Dave one time. We were coming back from the airport. He's going to stay here a week with us. And we got talking on love. He said, look, and like I said, me and Homer just listen when Pastor Dave's talking. We don't, unless he asks us a question, then we'll say something. And see, he said, look, what I found out about love, he said, look, if the body of Christ knew what effect it had on their prayers getting answered or not getting answered, they wouldn't even give themselves the luxury of getting mad and staying mad. Now here's, I'm going to split. I'm going to go even a little bit further. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Ooh. It's not even those, like you're avoiding because they did something to you. I mean, that'd be one thing. Well, they said something about my family. My family. They owe me $100. Okay. Take your hand off their throat. Take your hand off. Because we need revival. Take your hand off. But sometimes, and like I said, them hugs are different. I'll hug a lady a lot different. I mean, you know, we'll maybe chest bump or something. Glory to God. We can't do that with the ladies now. But have you ever got a hug that was a... Even when, and they say, well, I'm going to hug everybody then, Pastor. I'm going to hug everybody. Well, no, from your heart. Because I've got hugs before, and I thought, oh, God. I was more edified when I didn't get that hug. Here, I love you. No, the way you hugged me, I can tell there's something between us. The way you hugged me. Get your hand off their throat. Well, and here it goes deeper. They never really, there's some people, it's not even that they did anything to you. You just, now here's, and listen, do y'all want revival? Well, let me tell you, even attitudes. I don't know why I don't like them, but there's something about them I just don't like. That attitude. That, in other words, if you're an elder, a young man, young woman, you don't no longer have the license to do that. Or else your prayers won't mean a thing in the world to getting this thing done. Because Jesus didn't say, while you're standing at the mountain, don't get me wrong, this will make a difference. The other side, but he didn't even say fornication, adultery, and perversion will stop your mountain from being moved. He just said, if you do not forgive and walk in love, you can forget about this mountain moving. That's hard stuff, Pastor. Listen, even attitudes or dispositions. I don't know why I don't like them. I just don't. Older ladies, I'd like to hug her, but that young girl, she needs to put more clothes on. She needs to pull things up and push things down. Bless your heart, little sister. Look like you came off the streets. Listen, if they keep coming here, they will change. We preach holiness around here all the time. They will change. You give them, you sisters in the Lord, you mothers in the faith, give them a great big squeeze. That's from me. I can't do that. You squeeze them. And don't be worried about, wow, my God. They never did nothing to you. It's just the disposition. I just don't really like them. Just don't like them too much. Hallelujah. All that came out of that tongue, that short tongue. Hallelujah. It makes you wonder what's in tongues. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. I really want to, but I can't, because I'm going to do y'all a favor. I'm going to let you out early today. After you just give. Now, I got to tell I'm not going to say it every service, but I told the Wednesday night bunch, I got to tell the Sunday morning, because some of you can't make it on Wednesday. There was a $5,000 single, one-time gift. Well, I don't know if it's going to be one-time only, but I hope not from that end, from those individuals. But just from one entity, or one person, one people group. How can I say this without identifying anybody? Just a single offering that was $5,000 for the mortgage. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. So we're paying this thing off in Jesus' name. And to the rest of you, just continue to give weekly. And if you have anything to give over and above that you believe God with us for this, then we will definitely store it up and send it in or take it over, whatever the Lord wants us to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've already had a good time, haven't we? You know, if we live by what he just said, we're going to see revival. We really will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to let you go early as soon as I discern that you've written out those checks. Nah, I'm sweating, so hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, we just worship you. Take these words and live, saith the Spirit of grace. For very few hear these words. Most that would hear them would become offended and equivocate. They're a staunch rebuke. But those who have ears to hear, love chastening, because they understand that it takes them to another place, saith the Spirit of grace. So embrace these things. Brace them and love them and nurture them. Call wisdom your sister and understanding your cousin, your kinswoman. Call these things unto you. Embrace them and say, I love you. I love the rebuke of the Lord. For everyone that he rebukes and chastens, he loves as a father his sons and daughters. Father, we love you and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll remind you at 6 o'clock we're teaching. Now listen to me, I'm going to have people come up to me in the next 6 months, 2 years, and say, Pastor, please pray for my finances. Those are going to be the same people that are not coming to this class. The same people. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3, a wise man will hear and will receive instruction. And a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. We're teaching economics 101. We're teaching you how to prosper from the Bible, but we're also giving some, I'm going to have a handout tonight, and I'm also going to teach on some investments. Maybe, I don't know if it'll be tonight or next week. God is teaching people. I know this. I don't necessarily believe that it's His will for everyone to become rich like we oftentimes think of riches. I believe everyone in this room is supposed to be debt-free. We're teaching you how to become debt-free and financially independent. In other words, that you're not going to come to your old age and have to, because see, somebody's taking care of a lot, the government's taking care of a lot of people. I'm not saying don't look forward to drawing Social Security. If you put in the money, you should get it. But we want to teach you at 65 how that if you did not draw a Social Security check, you would be totally financially independent. And there's too many people that are either living off the system or they're living off just a weekly paycheck, and that's fine, but we're teaching people how to get past that. We're teaching them with the Word of God and some, and like I said, there'll be people that'll come to me and they'll say, they'll blame the devil. I don't like him at all. I hate him, but sometimes it's almost legal to feel sorry for him because everybody blames everything on him. God, you know, Pastor, please pray for me. The devil's attacking my finances. Well, can I talk to you about what you're doing? Oh, God, the devil's not attacking your finances. You're doing all, you're, and I'm not being mean here. Ignorance doesn't mean uneducated. But you're so ignorant about how you're using it and what you're doing. And you're put, the devil's not doing this. There's no spiritual intervention on this. You're doing it to yourself. And the reason being is, and I'm not, and I'll say this firsthand, my dad did not teach me. He did not teach me. I love my dad. My dad was the greatest dad in the world. He took me hunting and fishing and loved me and taught me morals and how to love family, but he taught me nothing. Nothing. And so my dad he's not a rich man. In a certain sense, he's a poor man. But the Word of God will teach you how to, whether or not you're rich, all of you should be debt-free, and all of you should be financially independent in your old age. And so that's what we're teaching. As I said, there will be people 6 months from now who'll stand in a prayer line and say, pray. Listen, you get somewhere because you apply wisdom. There's all kinds of people that die of sickness that are born again. Christianity alone does not exempt you from sickness. The Word of God and the power of God gives you the power to stand against it and get past sickness. So Christians die of sickness. Christians and most Christians, by probably and large, are impoverished. And just being a Christian, your spiritual DNA does not make you financially debt-free. I don't even care if you've received a prophecy. Thou shalt be rich. Prophecies, we're going to teach on it one day, almost every single prophecy is predicated on something else. In other words, you have something to do. No prophecy is just you not doing the things that make that prophecy come to pass. You must do the things that makes that prophecy come to pass or it will not come to pass. And being a Christian will not exempt you and it will not provide for you for the Lord to supply your need. You must apply wisdom. You must apply wisdom and understanding. Good commercial, okay? Hallelujah. So that's at 6 o'clock. We want to teach 1 hour, and then we let you go home. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this offering. We just bless you. We thank you for all those that were here today, heard this word, and were moved by your Spirit. We ask that you would impregnate these things down into our spirit and to our minds, our bodies, that, Lord, that we'll begin to hear these things and do these things and follow these things. And we thank you that Immokalee is in revival in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you please stand with me? Marty, I'm going to ask you to give us something. Folks, the offering baskets are up here. I'm going to ask you to please, if you have something, please bring it. If not, then you can be dismissed. If you need time to prepare something, go ahead and bring it down. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord Jesus. Amen.